You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
This podcast is part of the Doc Myths Collective. Visit docmyths.org to discover more shows like this one. The darkness awaits.
It's about to be a fun ride. Follow along, watch as we slide. Paranormal just hit the lights. Goosebumps all through the night. Mix in just a little bit of twang. That girl sure can't do a thing. Together, hillbillies go insane. Laugh so hard it'll hurt your brain. Podcast you won't ever change. These two here, they got the recipe. Sat on back and listen in to some of our darkest mysteries, ain't?
Welcome to Hillbilly Horror Stories. And now here's your host, Jerry and Tracy Pauly, and their dog Ninja.
Hey guys and ghouls, welcome back to Hillbilly Horror Stories episode 104. I'm Jerry and I'm joined by my beautiful wife Tracy.
Hello everybody, hope you had a great weekend.
Just wanted to say real quick, thanks to everyone who came out to Indianapolis last night.
So much fun.
It was a blast. Justin Rimmel was there from Mysterious Circumstances. Shane Waters was there from Out of the Shadows podcast. And let me tell you this. Shane Waters is one funny-ass dude.
He is so. And is just as nice as can be.
Shane is like 6'9".
Mm-hmm. He's really tall.
Yeah, he's tall.
Like really tall.
He's a big guy. And a gentle giant is the epitome of that. But I'm telling you, and we got to meet his mom, his grandma.
Oh, yeah.
We got to meet Justin's mom.
Mm-hmm.
My mom wasn't there because she's dead.
Oh, God.
Well, you just now found out she's been dead for like 11 years, 12 years.
That was not...
I'm just saying.
Expected.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm kind of used to it now.
No.
Anyway, so we got to meet all their families, and everybody was great. But Shane is just like funny as hell. Shane's a stand-up, and you wouldn't know it by listening to his show because his show's a very serious show. But he's like Mr. When you turn on a light and put a microphone in front of his face, he just turns it on, buddy. But he had everybody in that place rolling.
I know. And it was an awesome night. We met so many great people. And I tell you what, it's just amazing how many people come out because we were packed.
Yeah, it was packed.
It was packed. If you ever get to Indy, you need to go to that restaurant we were at. It was called...
I don't remember. Oh. You're supposed to know you was there.
I forgot. What's it called? Something with an S.
Scotty's.
Oh, yeah.
Brew
Scotty's
House.
Brew House. House.
What?
I was going to say Brew Ha Ha. Yeah, Scotty's Brew House.
It's a brew house.
Oh, man. I know. Their food was so delicious, and their service was great. And they worked their butts off for us.
They loved it. The servers were into all the stories we were doing, and they actually had a couple of the servers were saying that they would go back, and the people were like, hey, switch with me for a little bit so we can go back and listen. And they were like, no, this is our gig.
Yeah.
So it was really cool, and it was at like I said, it's right on the south side of Indianapolis. If you guys haven't been to a live show yet, and it's oddly enough, like Amy and Lacey, we've done three of these things in three different cities, and Amy and Lacey have been to all three of them.
I know. It's just great. We're always so happy to see him.
Yep. But if you haven't been, it is different than what we do. Like, we're going to do the Hannah House tonight, and that's what we did last night. But I can guarantee it won't come off the same because people are in the audience, and like I said, Shane was completely different. Justin's cracking jokes. We're cracking way more jokes on each other during the cast than what we do when it's just us sitting here, because it's live. It's just more fun.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get a chance to make it to one of the future ones, then like I said, we've got one coming up in Nashville on October 20th with the guys from Graveyard Tales.
That's going to be so fun.
Going to be awesome. The following week, we've got one in Cincinnati, which we'll talk about later. I don't want to dwell on it too much, but we had to change the event because you guys are absolutely insane and started buying tickets like crazy. And the we realized immediately after like 4 days that the venue we had picked out was going to be way too small.
Yeah.
So we got a cool venue, but we'll tell you about that later. That's with Twisted Philly and guys from Ohio. So
thank you, guys. That's so amazing.
And right around Halloween time. So Dina's talking about painting her face and painting listeners' faces if they want to come up. And I'm not dressing up.
That's,
no. Come you as, say that. You'll try to dress
come
up.
Come as you are. Yeah. That'll be good enough.
So anyway, thank you to all of our military and civil servants all over the world, no matter what country you represent. Thank you for everything you do.
Especially all the firefighters that are fighting that terrible blaze in California.
Yeah, it's absolutely horrible out there, and they've already lost some firefighters, and they've lost some civilians out there as well. It's just right now that's something that definitely needs everybody's thoughts and prayers.
Oh, everybody pray, please. Please, and hope everybody's safe. And gosh, I don't know. I just feel like everybody's faced with something every single daggone week, and it needs to stop. We need just to be faced with happiness and love and joy.
Well, that's not the world we live in, unfortunately.
Well, we'll just have to make it that way.
If you are struggling in life right now, as some of you listening are, just remember there's somebody out there who's willing to lend a hand. There's somebody willing to lend an ear. And please remember, if you are one of those people who reach out, let's say you know somebody who's struggling, a lot of times they don't need advice. They just need somebody to listen.
Yes.
And I'm going to post something. James Chamberlain sent me something today, and I'm going to post that on the Facebook page. But it was like five different responses that anybody could use if somebody's struggling with suicide and you're talking to them. And I think this is something that we all need to look at, because it really is something all of us could do. But they were very beneficial sayings. And I'm going to go ahead and post that on our Facebook page in the group. So if you're a part of that, you can be able to see that. So are we ready to get going tonight?
We are.
As usual, as recently usual. I don't know. But look, we had some people, and albeit I'll agree with them, that we were taking too long to get into the story. So that's why we've shifted the Patreon and the new iTunes reviews to after the story. And in this case tonight, we don't really have a long story, and we also don't have an interview or anything afterwards, so it'll be kind of at the end of the show.
Yeah.
But we're still going to do those things, but instead of doing everything at the beginning, if we decided to cut something and just shift it a little later, it was those things, because we wanted to make sure we got the suicide and the thank you to the military in front, and just a little bit about what went on with our week. So
yeah.
All right, so let's get going. The Hannah House. Hannah House is right in the great city of Indianapolis, where we were last night, which is why we chose it. And literally, it was like 5 minutes up the road from where the event was.
Oh, my gosh. It was like, that. Tell you what, that's a interesting and fun place where we were today. There was lots to do, and I wish we had more time, actually.
Yeah, I did, too. We had to, unfortunately, we were stuck in a traffic jam on the way up there. So we got there 5 minutes before the show was set to start.
Yeah, it was
cool. We didn't get a chance to enjoy anything. We went right to our hotel room afterwards, got up this morning. We went to the Hannah House and took some pictures, which we'll post in a little bit. And then we had to head straight home. So we basically just drove up there, did the show, slept, and came right back home. But anyway, so the Hannah House, like I said, they're in Indianapolis, and it's listed as one of the most haunted places in the Midwest. It was built in 1858 by Alexander Hammer. I said Hammer. What the fuck? It was built in 1858 by Alexander Hannah, thus the name Hannah House. That makes sense. He got rich in California during the Gold Rush, and he was also an Indiana state legislator. So he was a very well-known and popular, prominent person in the city of Indianapolis.
Good.
The Hannah House is a 24-room mansion on Madison Avenue. Now, I will say this. After going there today, and I don't mean to bash places, the upkeep on this thing has not been very well done.
No, not at all. I was very, very surprised.
I was actually embarrassed for the people who run it. And I know that sounds bad, because I don't know what they go through as far as money making or any of that, but they have a huge sign in the front, and they advertise that you can do weddings or events and stuff like there, which If I've just told you, hey, it's a 24-room mansion, they're going to do weddings and events there, you would think, man, this place probably looks pretty pristine, but it don't. The sign out front has weeds and stuff growing all over, and it's still open. You would think that it's closed just based by that. Weeds growing all over the place. There's a white picket fence that's literally fallen down, but I'm okay with that because that adds to the, you know, the time frame.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's busted parts of the fence, the I don't know, just the house itself, like there's columns and stuff in the front, all the paint's peeling off of it, paint's peeling off the doorways. It's just, if you're going to have, use it as an event center, it should look way better than what it does.
Well,
so,
maybe they just want it to look that way, but the upkeep of the grounds really needed attention a lot.
Yeah,
so.
I just think the whole thing.
But
I mean,
maybe, I don't know.
Like I said, I don't know the financial situation or where they get their money, but if you're going to try to get events, especially weddings and stuff like that, you need to at least do some weed eating or, you know, make the landscaping a little bit better. It was just, I don't know, just my 2 cents on it. I expected more.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to talk about Hannah himself. Hannah was a staunch abolitionist, which if you're unfamiliar with that term, it means that he was a big advocate against slavery.
Good for him.
Right. So he used the house as a stop on the Underground Railroad. If you're unfamiliar with how the Underground Railroad worked, escaped slaves were brought in. They would have like a group of people that were trying to help them. Mm-hmm. And they would take them on their way up to Canada, for the most part, is where they were going. But they would stop at houses that were designated. And this was, it was underground because you couldn't let this be known that you did this because you would face legal charges.
Yeah.
And so you couldn't, just wouldn't allow to help slaves back then, right. Especially escaped slaves. So they would take them to stops, and he was a known stop. So escaped slaves were brought here to the house at nighttime. They were given food and water until the following nightfall, and then they would, you know, move on to the next stop until they worked their way all the way up to the north to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
You got to remember what a dangerous undertaking this was for somebody of Mr. Hanna's position.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a big deal.
Not only was it illegal, but he was also a state legislator. Right. So, I mean, my goodness. This was also a time where helping an injured runaway slave was punishable by all kinds of laws and could even include death.
Isn't that amazing? That's just terrible.
So one night, a group of slaves arrived, and they were set to spend the night in the basement, as was normally the case.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they bring them in, they gave them food, they gave them water. Now, this basement area had some wooden floor and some dirt floor.
Uh-huh.
It was more like a cellar setup.
Right.
They bring them in, and because it was going to be dark down there, they gave them some oil lanterns. And this particular night, tragedy struck. The story goes that sometime during the night while the slaves were sleeping, something happened. They're not exactly sure, but the lantern was overturned, spilling oil all over the wooden floor, and fire broke out.
Oh my gosh.
The basement went up in flames, trapping the slaves.
Aww.
Most of the slaves were burned alive, and the ones who weren't died of smoke inhalation.
Man, that's so awful.
That's got to be the worst way.
I mean, can you imagine knowing that you can't get out and that's just your fate? That's just what's going to happen and there's nothing you can do about it. I mean,
that's like the videos of like 9/11 where you saw people jumping.
Right.
Because it was either jump or die in a fiery death or whatever.
I mean, what do you do? Like, it just breaks your heart.
So the fire did extensive damage to the basement and the lower floors of the house. The fire had to be put out, but it also had to be kept a secret. No one could discover that this was a house that was stopped for the Underground Railroad. So, unfortunately, it just had to be taken care of and swept under the rug, so to speak. The slaves that perished there that night were hastily buried in the cellar's dirt floor to quickly cover up the incident. Now, the Hannas wanted to give them a nice Christian burial as they deserved, but they also knew by taking a chance of doing that, they would let on the fact that this was an Underground Railroad house. They couldn't take that chance. Ever since that night of the fire, the city of Indianapolis has had whispers of paranormal activity in and around the Hannah House. The ghost of the doomed slaves can be seen hiding in the shadows there.
Yeah.
They can be seen walking in the hallways in several of the rooms. Their moans can be heard if you listen closely, according to legends and rumors. Some believe that the ghost of Alexander Hanna himself remains more or less trapped in the house with the people that he tried to help for so many years.
Really?
Mr. Hanna apparently was a really good man, depending on who you talk to. And we'll get into that a little bit. But for the most part, everybody says he's a really good man. And like I said, he made his riches out in the California Gold Rush. But he decided to come back to Indiana to settle down, which some people wouldn't have done. They would have stayed out in California. He married his wife, Elizabeth, in 1872. After years of being a bachelor, he was like 51, 52 or something when he married her. Right. They built several additions to the house, including a bunch of outbuildings, which we took some pictures of today. Mm-hmm. Hanna only had one child. Unfortunately, this child was either a miscarriage or a stillborn up in the upstairs bedroom, depending on which version of the story you hear. The reason that I mention it like that is because in the early 70s, there was a family living there. And in the upstairs bedroom, they started getting a horrible stench that smelled like rotting flesh.
Oh, my gosh. Oh.
It was so much so that the person up there was doing everything she could to get the smell to go away. Nothing, it wouldn't go away. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes it would, and then it would come back. Mm-hmm. But it wouldn't go away for good. They went as far as thinking maybe there was a dead possum or something under the floorboards. They even lifted some floorboards in that bedroom. Didn't see anything. She cleaned it with carbolic acid, or might have been carbonic acid. Either way, I don't know what it is.
Right. But it sounds pretty nasty.
I would think that would do damage to a wooden floor.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Anything with the word acid in it can be good.
But she cleaned it with that. Still didn't make a difference. So she brought in a psychic. The psychic says that there was a baby born in that room, stillborn, and it was buried on the property. Mm-hmm. So they went out and they saw Hannas were buried on the property. Mr. Hanna and his wife were both buried on the property. So they went out to where they were buried at, and there was a little stone in between the two of theirs.
Aww.
That actually just had one date on it. So they know that the baby only lived for like less than 24 hours.
Oh, man.
Because of one date, so that's all you had. So until then, supposedly, nobody really knew that they even had a baby until this psychic brought it up. Now, I'm going to question that only because had nobody ever been out to the property, to their graves, to see the other tombstone for the baby?
I mean, did they have her name on? Oh, I guess they didn't name it, right?
Yeah, I don't guess.
But they just had a number on it?
Right, it had a date. So it had to, you know, I don't know. But so it all got put together, and that was the deal. After Hanna passed away in 1895, the house was vacant for about 4 years. A gentleman by the name of Roman Ayler and his family bought it in 1899. Roman was a German immigrant that had done really well in town, so he was also a prominent citizen. His descendants still own the Hanna House today.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
In 1978, it was listed on the National Landmark, as a National Landmark on the National Historic Register.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty good. So let's get into some hauntings. Investigators and past owners believe that the slaves haunt the house to this day.
Mm-hmm.
Several people have witnessed the ghosts of the slaves, and they've heard the moaning and the whispering in the cellars area. The mansion was given the nickname the house that reeks of death.
Whoa, that's really strong words.
Well, and that's mainly because the investigators and past owners claim that the upstairs room, one we just talked about, sometimes smells like rotting flesh.
Oh my gosh.
Then some people say that it smells like gangrene or decay, and that the odor is attributed to the slaves that are buried in the basement, which is a contradiction to what we heard a while ago about it being the baby up there. Now, oddly enough, in this room the next day after the stench, it would smell like roses.
What? How you go from one end to the other?
I have no idea. But that's what people say happened.
Yeah.
How true all this story is about the slaves may be in question, though. Now, we've got documented proof that the house was used as the Underground Railroad. That much we do know. But as with most Underground Railroad locations, facts are very hard to come by. It makes Ninja very anxious when he doesn't have the facts, as you can tell. due to the secretive nature and the operation here that they had, they didn't exactly keep a lot of written records, as you could imagine. So all you really have to go by is what people have said throughout the years, these oral tales that have been passed on and passed on. So if the fire never took place, which there's no facts that it did take place, but if it didn't take place, then this place has been haunted for decades for unknown reasons, because one thing is for sure, the Hannah House is haunted.
Yeah.
Now, besides the obvious phenomenon that we talk about on a regular basis here of moaning and whining and slamming doors and cold spots, there's also the sound of children crying and things flying out of the pantry.
Mm-hmm.
That's not really normal.
No.
Well, things fly out of our pantry because it's so full.
Well, that's true.
Because we just keep stocking it and never eat any of it. When you open it up, stuff just falls out.
That's true.
The most well-known haunting here is of the slaves, but there are some others, and we're going to talk about a few of them. Grandma is one of them. Grandma apparently lived in the house for a long period of time, one of the families that had lived there throughout the years. Well, the house was almost sold at one point, and when they were going to sell it, they decided that they needed to sell all of the furniture that was in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the furniture that they sold belonged to Grandma, including a bedroom set. When the sale didn't happen, they now had to refurnish the house again.
Oh, man.
And one of the pieces that they were able to get back was the bedroom suit that belonged to the older woman that everybody affectionately called Grandma.
Where'd they get it back from?
It was in an antique shop, and it had some engravings of her initials on the back, so they knew it was the actual one.
Oh, dang, they were lucky.
Yeah. Grandma is said to haunt the first room on the left at the top of the stairs. Now, right now, they keep Grandma's picture on the table next to her bed, and the staff always greets her before they walk into the room.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Grandma was apparently really neat and tidy, and she loved flowers and plants, which is a good thing because many times the managers there will realize that they forgot to water the plants, and then they rush to hurry up and get water to get to the plants, only to find out they have already been mysteriously watered, even when there was nobody else there that could have done it.
See, Grandma watches over her stuff.
The window from Grandma's room faces the front door from right across the courtyard. And sometimes people say that they see the curtain just kind of sway just a bit as if someone had just peeked out the window and just let it go.
I was hoping to see something like that today. I was looking up there.
Well, let me tell you this. We snuck on the property. We weren't supposed to be there because they were closed. But they got these little old rusted gates you'll see in the pictures we posed. And I opened the gate up and Tracy's like, no, no. And I'm like, what are they going to do? So I walked up around the grounds and took some pictures and stuff like that. I didn't stay very long because I didn't want to try to get arrested in Indianapolis. But I got pretty close up there and took a bunch of pictures, but I wasn't there long enough to be able to see any windows, and I don't know which window would have been hers. I didn't even think about it at the time. But so anyway, it's pretty cool. So then you've got you got that deal. But Mr. Hanna, let's dwell on him for a second. He's been seen strolling through the yards and sometimes riding a pony. That's right. That's what it said.
Wait, a pony?
That's what it said. The funny thing about Mr. Hanna, and I don't know how people know that it's him, because there are no pictures of Mr. Hanna.
Not one in the house?
Not one in the house, period.
I wonder why.
There is no picture that exists of him, but based on stories and some architecture of the house, most people believe that he was a shorter man. I could have told you that by the fact that people see him riding a pony.
I feel you, bro.
He also apparently smoked a lot of cherry tobacco, and you can frequently smell this and catch a whiff of it when you're going from room to room in the house.
Oh, nice.
There's another ghost by the name of Mr. Meany. He's apparently very mischievous, and sometimes he makes people feel uncomfortable.
Mr. Meany?
Mr. Meany.
Oh.
He's never hurt anybody, but many people have felt very scared or very sick when he supposedly is around. There's also a little girl who haunts the basement and the apartment area. In this house, you've got, like, it's 24 different rooms, and part of the upstairs is made into an apartment, and I think that's where the actual keeper, or not the keeper, what do you call it, the person, the caretaker.
Caretaker, okay.
Lives at. But they said that there's a little girl that haunts the basement and that apartment. She said that the odd thing about the apartment thing is people will hear footsteps and things will be knocked around and they'd hear disembodied voices. Mm-hmm. I didn't see anything that told about people seeing a little girl or a psychic saying it was a little girl. So I'm not really sure why they believe it is a little girl, but that's what they believe. There's also a house cat named George.
Cool name for a cat.
They said he likes to play with things that nobody can see. So I guess he's got like little invisible
toys. Like balls and stuff and toys?
I guess.
Aww.
Either that or maybe he's just looking up somebody.
Nice.
So you got Mr. Elder. Mr. Elder, he owned the house at some point. And the story goes that he kept hearing some noises down in the cellar basement area. And he thought that possibly some kids or something got in. Now, this is the first known story of something happening in the house. Keep in mind, this house wasn't haunted when the Hannahs lived there. All the hauntings came after the fact.
Yeah.
That's why most people think it's got to be them. So Mr. Elder, he's living in the house. He hears these really weird sounds, similar to Ninja's growls right now. Damn. Coming from down in the cellar area. Like I said, he thinks maybe some kids or something got in. Then he hears this big loud crash. He goes down there, and there's glass broken everywhere. What turns out, there was this huge shelf that he had down there that was very secure, that they had canned fruits and vegetables mm-hmm. that they were going to use for the winter. Somehow or another, after hearing the noises, this thing fell, busted. There was no other way out.
Oh, God.
And nothing went past him, so he had no clue what it was. But that was the very first thing that had happened. He couldn't find a logical reason why that
yeah.
shelf fell.
So no windows, no nothing.
Yeah.
Damn, and there was food for the winter.
It could have been like those pickles that Aunt Bee made. Maybe they were trying to get rid of them. That's the story he told his wife because he didn't want to tell her he made her horrible food. So then you had a family named the O'Briens. They rented the property in 1972. So this actually, the Mr. Elder case happened before 1972, but I have an exact date on that one. So family moved in here in 1972, the O'Briens, and they started an antique business and ran it for 10 years out of the Hannah House. They lived upstairs in that apartment, but they only lived there for about a year.
Mm-hmm.
They got chased out because of the paranormal
activity. Oh, they got spooked?
Yeah, they got spooked. They kept running their business, but they weren't going to live there anymore. They said the very first thing that happened was when the O'Briens took it over, they had some painting and stuff that needed to be done.
Yeah.
Maybe they can get them back. But the O'Brien's son said he would take care of it. So he came in there with his daughter, and he's doing some painting and stuff, and his daughter's sitting at the steps. Well, she keeps looking up and talking to somebody. And he's like, "Who are you talking to?" She's, "Oh, that man up there." He went upstairs and looked around, and there was nobody there. And after checking the whole place, and he left and didn't come back.
Oh, my gosh.
He said that was no. Absolutely not.
That was no.
And then they had somebody else that came in and was trying to do some work. And there was a silver tray for coffee or tea or something.
Uh-huh.
And it had a spoon on it. And the spoon lifted up off the tray and flew and smacked off the wall. That gentleman refused to do any more work.
Too. Oh, man. I understand. I probably wouldn't either.
And then, like I said, so the O'Briens, we'll go back to them. So they started, having that problem. They had cold spots. They saw apparitions. They smelled that foul smell that we were talking about that smelled like rotting corpses in the bedroom. And they were the ones there that determined, brought in the psychic and all that stuff. So they tried several different ways to clean that room. Like we said, nothing seemed to work. They saw doors and pictures move on their own. And then they heard disembodied voices, including whispers. And then that was all she wrote.
They were gone too.
Yeah, they were out of there. In 1980, the Southport JCs used the Hannah House as a haunted attraction for Halloween for several years. Members were often stumped by the fact that there was a chandelier downstairs that would move back and forth, kind of sway on its own, for no reason whatsoever. Several members stated that one afternoon before the attraction was getting ready to open, that they heard the sound system that had all the spooky music and stuff that plays while people are going around.
Mm-hmm.
It turned on by itself, and then they heard footsteps enter into the house,
mm-hmm.
but there was nobody there.
Ooh.
And the last part of this, there was a woman who drives by. She was going back and forth to work, and she'd always pass by the Hannah House going into Indianapolis for work. And apparently the Hannahs used to, or not the Hannahs themselves, but the people who owned mm-hmm. it, they used to have all these vans and stuff parked out there on the grounds. And sometimes they would have live bands and stuff like that. And these were the bands that were, I guess, transporting equipment for the bands.
Oh, okay.
But she said that she would go by on a regular basis, and there would be a man out there in, 1800 style clothing that would always wave to her when she went by. She just always thought that was odd. And then one time when she went by and they had the bands and stuff out there, she saw a woman walking around that had like 1900s dress on.
Golly. So, they weren't done partying, apparently.
And apparently, from what everybody says, it's still haunted today, and they do tours. So,
well, I would like to go there when they are open. Just
I would have liked
what...
to have taken a tour.
Yeah.
But they weren't open on Sundays.
No, that's a shame. We missed it. But we'll go back, for sure.
But anyway, that's the story on the Hannah House.
Yeah, that's interesting and sad all at the same time.
So what we're going to do, I do have another little short story. Really quick, I thought we would do the... Patreon reviews and the the Patreon supporters for this week and the iTunes reviews, and then I got another quick story for you before we let you go. So let's go with the reviews. Slumerican, Heather Cakes, Hizerzy, Kay Cummings, Nickadade, you are killing me this week. Scully Fox, Salty Stash, Thomas Jefferson. Thanks for listening, Mr. President. The 20s in the mail. Americans get that. Wait a minute. He's not on the 20, is he?
I don't know, but he wants me on his forehead.
Space. Oh, is that? Yeah. He wrote. This guy wrote a review, and he said he wanted to get a tattoo of Tracy on his forehead.
Nice. I say go for it. Not.
Space Goth, Water for Ya, Clarkling 444, Tito Gamblin.
Gambino.
Oh, Tito Gambino. Muy Mi Muy. And then Patreon supporters this week, we had Amber Coward, Marianne Farley, and Sam Farrell upped his from $5 to $15. Thanks, Sam.
Thank you, guys. Loved all the reviews. They were so nice. And thank you guys for supporting us. It's just wonderful. And we just love you guys so very much and appreciate it.
I want to say a big thank you also to Jimbo and Todd. Mm-hmm. They came out last night to the live event, but they also helped us in trying to... They live in the area. They live in Indianapolis. And they, Jimbo brought a table and set it up for us, and we used that for the show and to put our merch on. Todd actually bought our dinner last night, which was
nice.
Super nice, and we didn't expect that, but thank you so much for that. We want to say prayers for his mom, because right after the show, he found out that she fell and broke her hip and had surgery today.
Yeah.
So prayers and thoughts out for Todd Hedges and his parents.
Yeah.
Well, really quick, come to our website. It's awesome. Look, we've got a new feature on there. First of all, we got the store there. We got the live events there now. So if you want to come to the show in Nashville or the show in Cincinnati in October, you can go right there and buy tickets. You don't have to search for anything. If you want to join Patreon, you can go right there and click on it and take you straight to the link. Tim Mullins in our group has done such an awesome job on this.
Sure has.
And I can't wait to get people out there. Same thing with the YouTube page. He's made huge advancements from where we ever had it at. It
was just, oh, yeah.
But then the other thing is, we added the Wall of Heroes. And the Wall of Heroes is you guys. It could be you, could be a brother, could be an aunt, could be a father. But it's nurses, doctors, any type of civil servants, military. If some reason that you've got a friend, family member that passed away in the military or passed away in a line of service, send us their picture and we'll put them on that wall. I would advise everybody to go check it out because we've got, 20 or so on there now?
Yeah, it's really getting big.
So we want to honor you guys. So
amen. We love y'all.
Let's get this one knocked out real quick. It's a really short story, but I thought it was really interesting. Since we were in Indiana last night, I wanted to do another Indiana story. And this is from a cemetery up in Terre Haute, Indiana. It's a gentleman by the name of Martin Sheets. And he was a really wealthy businessman. He lived right there in Terre Haute, Indiana in the early 1900s. But like so many people back then, and I'm sure like us.
Oh, yeah, even today.
Definitely had a fear of being buried alive.
Mm.
we've heard a lot of these stories, and we've done some of them on the shorts where people are buried, but they just had really low respiratory symptoms, and people thought, hey, we can't just leave them around, and I think that we're dead, and we need to bury them real quick. He wasn't going to be one of these people. So he decided that I'm going to do something about this that most people don't do. And the reason we get into the why he thought this way, he would have these dreams to where he was awake, but he was unable to move, much like sleep paralysis. And the doctor would come in, say he was dead, and then he would regain his consciousness when he was trapped in a coffin.
Yeah. Ugh.
That would be so horrible.
That is a nightmare, for sure.
And especially if that coffin was below the ground. Because what are you going to do?
Nothing.
There's nothing you can do. So anyways, he decided, since he had so much money, he was going to spend a little of this money and fix this problem. So the first thing he did, he had a casket that was custom designed with latches inside, so he could easily open it up should he need to. Well, obviously, that's not going to do you any good underground.
Well, no, how are you going to lift all that dirt off of it?
So the next thing he did was he had a mausoleum built that, so when he died, if he, you know, had to open up and lock, he could get out and he would be not underground. Mausoleum was well built, and Mr. Sheets realized that even if he did wake up and get out and he's stuck in the mausoleum, how's he going to let anybody know?
Mm-hmm.
Can't just pound on doors and expect people to hear it. Those things are usually really thick.
Yeah.
So he came up with another clever idea. He installed a telephone inside the tomb with a direct line to the main office of the cemetery. This way, he could summon somebody to come out and help him out just by lifting the receiver. The line was fitted with an automatic indicator light so that even if no words were spoken, the light would come on in the office and help would soon be on the way. Makes sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, death came for Martin Sheets in 1910, and he was entombed in the mausoleum. I would imagine that for probably the first several days, just because of this unique situation, that the cemetery staff workers probably kept a close eye on that little light in the office to see if it would come on, but like happens, after time passed, people probably just forgot about it. Well, years went by and the telephone system in that area changed. Eventually, the direct line to the cemetery office was removed, but thanks to very specific instructions in Sheets' will and the money to pay for it, the telephone and the mausoleum remained connected and active. So now we go a number of years later. Sheets' widow, she passes away. She was discovered one day lying on her bed with a telephone clutched in her hand. In fact, the receiver was held so tightly that it had to be pried from her fingers. It was soon learned that she had experienced a severe stroke, and family members assumed that she had been trying to call an ambulance when she finally died. They had the service, the funeral. And after that was done, they took her to the family mausoleum where she would be interred next to her husband. When the cemetery workers entered the mausoleum, though, they received the shock of their lives. Nothing there was disturbed, which you would expect.
Mm-hmm.
Except for one little thing. A very chilling item, come to think of it. Martin Sheets' telephone, locked away for all those years, was hanging off the hook.
Mm. My gosh.
So,
his nightmare came true.
Or he was trying to communicate with his wife because she was dying.
Yeah.
Because if he'd have woke up and just picked it up, though. But I guess my other thing was it was off the hook, but why didn't it show the light? Because it was still active.
Yeah, probably nobody was paying attention.
So, anyways, guys, thank you so much. We love you, and we're glad that you listen to us every week. Tell your friends.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Have a great week.
Hey, Hillbillies, if you guys enjoy what we do here on the show every week and appreciate all the hard work we put into it, consider being one of our Patreon supporters. All you got to do is go to our website, hillbillyhorrorstories.com, click on the tab for donations, and you'll see the Patreon link right there. Click on it, and you can go to our Patreon page. Then you will have a decision to make. You can choose the $1, the $3, the $5, or the $10 donation. Each one gets you different things a month. But regardless, you get some free stuff. Just check out the bonuses under each tier and you'll see what you get for free for that month. But you'll get something free regardless. Also, if you'd like to buy any Hillbilly Horror Story merch, you're also in the right place on the website, hillbillyhorrorstories.com. Just click on the store page and see whatever it is that you like. Click on a few links, send a little bit of money, and your item will be on its way. Thank you guys so much for all of your support. We love you, we thank you, and we appreciate you.